Okay, we're continuing in Halachat Daat. Last time we started speaking about Bitta B'Shisha, so I'm going to give you a quick chazar of what we need to know for today. And then can you just close it? What we need to know for today. Then we have, last time was a little more theoretical, and this time we're going to get into some practical applications. Okay, last time we said there are two machlokes in, and we're making up both of those shayles. Okay, the first machlokes was whether it's a machlokes rishonim, whether bittul of stam yayin is in 6 or 6D, in shisha or shishim, and we pass it at bottle of shisha. And the second was a machlokes in achronim, whether when we say stam yayin is bottle of shisha, does that mean just into water, or is it into any liquids? And we pass in there also that it's into all liquids. Okay? Of course, not wine, but into all liquids aside for wine, it's about the b'shisha. Okay? And, but on top of that was, Ramosha said, since these two things are shailas, one is a machukis rishonim, Shulchan Aruch is meikel, one is a machukis nachronim, and Ramosha thinks almost all the nachronim are meikel. Even so, Ramosha says that Bal Nefesh should be machmer about those two things and a number of other things also, but those are the ones that are relevant to us, as he said, to be machmer. Okay? So the ikra din is that both of those things were meikel that. It's a good thing for a person to be more careful. It's the thing, what we're going to be talking about today, is that's the thing that Rosh says. He says is he wouldn't drink it, but if somebody offered him the Kiddush, they offered him a Chaim, he would drink it. Okay? Because he held it in the middle of his mouth. Okay, so we have some, the first thing is people in Hashkacha. Okay, that's what we are, of course. So the first thing we have to think about is Hashkacha. So of course, we never let companies put something treif into a product, even if it's bottled a million times. Okay, so we would never put something in on purpose and say, "Oh, we're going to give hashgacha on this food because it's bottled b'shisha." We wouldn't do that. Okay, but I can think of three scenarios where it would come up for a hashgacha to think about this thing bit of b'shisha. Of course, the first one is if something happened by mistake. Okay, if something happens by the edit, then we have to think about the din. What's the real din? The din is it's bottled b'shisha and mixed into any liquid, we bottled b'shisha. Fine.
I don't know if you discussed it last week, just by the remark. Right? How does he know that every kli is going to have bottle of shishim?
Not for today. That's the next time. Okay. That's not, we didn't do the part that I'm
about.
No, that's for next time. Okay. Second is, when we think about bleas from stam yayin into a steam system, bleas of stam yayin into a steam system, so we have, it's not for today, but we have this magical idea that the bleas that pass through the walls of a kli into the steam system, those bleas are always going to be bought to b'shisha. Okay, that's a magical, it's not for today to explain that, but that's another example where we say the steam never became chafed in the first place, so we don't have to worry about it affecting everything else. Okay, the third case where we, as Hashkacha, would care about bit the b'shisha is if we have the kasher kli. So the din is we always cash a kli when they're in a bnei yamin, and that's what we should do no matter what. But there's a second way of cashing kli which we avoid, which is that if the reason we cash a kli they have to be in a bnei yamin is because the bleah comes out of the kli, gets absorbed into the hagola water, so you're cashing the treif water. So by in a bnei yamin we don't have that problem. But there is another way of doing it, which is if the water has shishim connected to the bleah, then the water is not treif. The bleah is bottled to the water. Okay, so if the bleah was only stam yayin, we wouldn't need shishim. We would only shisha, which of course is much easier. We talked about when we learned Hagolas Kalim, a particular way of that, an application of that thing, of where we count on this thing that the water is bottled with shisha to do Hagolas Kalim. Okay, so we'll talk a little more about these later. But those are three scenarios that I came up with where Hashkacha would think about this rule of Bitta B'Shisha. Again, we wouldn't let someone put it on purpose, so we have these three scenarios where Bitta B'Shisha would make a difference. Okay, but now we're going to move to two other cases, which are more in the realm of Rabbi Nihaz, of like advising consumers about what they're allowed to eat, which is to say we're not giving Hashkacha on the food. What we're saying is the food mutter also to eat. So then, if it's bottle b'shisha, then it's what to talk about. That it should be mutter according to the ikra din, or Moshe says to be machmer for bal nefesh. It is what to talk about. Okay, and in the middle of that, we're going to go through another rule. Okay, I told you two machlekes. I'm going to tell you another rule in the middle about that's going to fit in tiros. Okay, so the first question we'll talk about is Canadian whiskey. Okay, Canadian whiskey. Okay, Canadian whiskey has this interesting rule, which is that in and before I start with the Canadian whiskey, we highly suspect that the tshuva, this very famous tshuva of Moshe about adding wine into whiskey, is talking about Canadian whiskey. It sure seems like that's what he's describing. It doesn't say what he's describing, but it doesn't say what kind of whiskey it is, but that's what it sure sounds like what it is. Okay, and that is like this. The rule is, if someone is making Canadian whiskey and they're exporting it to the United States, then the rule is they're allowed to add in up to 9.09%. That's 1/11. Okay, 9.09% wine into that mixture. Okay, so now of course the wine is not kosher. The mixing wine into this, it's not kosher. Okay, so our first thing, the first thing that would hit us when we think about that is, well, if you let it in 1/11, 9.09%, well, it's about mishisha. Okay, 9.09 is less than bit the magician, which is like 16%. Okay, it's 1/11 instead of 1/6. So the first thing that you would strike you would say is, okay, I added in 9% wine, but the rest of it is all kosher things, so it should be like the magician, it should be like that. Okay, however, for whatever reason, these things don't follow the regular rules. Okay, we have a few twists to figuring out whether this is really mutarasa. Okay, a lot of what I'm going to tell you now comes from the research from Shalom Hirsch Adler, who was, still is, for the next few hours, head of the COR, and he's Canadian, who lived in Canada, and is involved in a lot of this stuff, and he dug deep into this and spoke to lots of people. It says like this. The rule is that the people, when they, I think that's what the slide is, yeah, when they count the percentage of wine, they don't count the percentage of wine like me and you do. Okay? Me and you think that if you put in 9 gallons of wine into 100 gallons of schnapps, then that's 9%. Okay, well, that's not the way it works. Here's how it goes. Okay, here's an example. A person takes 100 liters of rye whiskey and 100 liters of wine and 100 liters of water. Okay, so for all regular people, would think of that as being a mixture, which is a third wine, a third whiskey, and a third water, because that's what it is. It's 100 liters in each. Okay, so in our mind, that mixture is a third, a third, a third. That's what we think of it as, okay? But they use something called alcohol by volume, ABV, alcohol by volume, which means is, how much alcohol is this contributing to the mixture? So how much is it contributing? Well, the rye is contributing, in this case, it's 60% alcohol, so the rye is contributing 60 liters. The wine is contributing only 15 liters, it's only 15% alcohol. So according to law, from this perspective, the ABV, it's 80% rye whiskey, and 20% wine. Okay, that in their mind, in the ABV world, in the world of alcohol by volume, the rye is contributing 80% of the alcohol to this mixture. The wine is contributing 20%, and the water is contributing 0. Okay, so it comes out that according to ABV, this is not a mixture which is a third wine. It's a mixture which is 20% wine. Okay,
is cash 300 liters?
Yeah,
it's not 100% alcohol.
I think 80% of the alcohol is being contributed by the rye. 20% of the alcohol is going to be contributed by the wine. Of the total. It's 80% of the alcohol being contributed.
ABV,
everything's 100% everything. Everything. This is 100% watched also. I mean,
it's only 66% alcohol.
That's not true. The actual alcohol content is whatever it is. But the ABV, the which one of the... Okay, let me take this. When you wrote on the bottle what the ratio of alcohol is, I don't remember what the actual math works out to, how much alcohol is this mixture. But when you were counting, is it 9%, 9.09%, you would say, in this case, how much wine is in here, how much is the wine that's been contributed? 20%. Okay? Now...
We go to high school.
The alcohol by volume
is
a total mixture of 300 liters.
Only
15 liters
is
the alcohol.
It's 7%.
So alcohol supply is 20%.
That's not alcohol
by volume. So that's how they measure. That's how they measure for this kind of a measurement.
It's Canadian.
And here is a real formula. Or I don't know if it's exactly a real formula. Roughly a real formula of a Canadian whiskey. Okay, it has three different kinds of spirits, three different kinds of whiskey. For our purposes, they're giving, you can see here on the chart, one's giving about 3,000 liters, one's giving 200, one's giving 9,000 liters. Okay, all different kinds of alcohol levels that they're giving. Okay, that's how much alcohol they're giving. And then there's wine, there's 4,000 or so liters of wine, 4,378 of wine, giving 8, which is 18% of the overall mixture. Okay, for how regular people would count that, it's 18% of the overall mixture, the way regular people would
have used the highest percentage alcohol.
What'd you say?
If the cup was some wine, what kind of wine would you use?
In this case, they're using wine, that's 20%.
Only port.
20%?
In this case, you're using wine.
It's like
20%.
A port wine.
I'm going to explain to you in a second what it is, what the wine is.
Right.
I'll explain to you in a second what the wine is. Okay, so, but in this case, the wine is a strength of 20% strength. Okay, it's a 20% strength. It is really 18% of the mixture. Wow. So, according to their cheshbon of how you count how much wine is in here, there's less than 9.09%. 8.79%. Okay? So,
that
there's 8.79%, and you're good. You're allowed to add this in. This would be considered legal to call this Canadian whiskey. But if you look at it, for our purposes, we would say, wait a second, it's 18% wine. So I said to you beforehand that it's bought the shisha because it's under 9.09%. All of a sudden you find out they don't count volume, they don't count percentages where we count percentages. They have their own interesting way of counting it. So for their purposes, this would qualify because this has less than 9.09%. It's good. It's safe. It's only this many liters of alcohol being contributed by the wine, blah, 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 and everything would be fine. But from our perspective, that's not Bottom Shisha. From our perspective, this is 18% wine. If it's 18% wine, it's not Bottom
Shisha. Wine is cheaper than the whiskey. Is that what you're doing?
Yes. It's a tax thing. Wine, the tax on wine is different than tax on alcohol.
Or it's going to change
so
the alcohol to Trump.
Isn't 20% alcohol very high for wine?
Yeah, we're getting to that in a second. Yes, I'm getting to that. Yes, that's correct. I'll get to that in a second. I'm getting to that in a second. Okay. So as a number of people have noticed, this is not the end of the story. Okay? This is not the end of the story. Because there's another twist to the law, okay? There's another twist to the law. And that is, by law, they consider wine, what they think is wine or we think is wine is not the same thing. Okay? What we think is wine, you take grapes and you squeeze them and you make wine out of them. Okay? Well, they have their own ideas. Their rule is, as long as you have a liquid and half of a percent of that liquid is made from wine, it's wine. Okay? Which is to say is... Right. So, which is to say is, you have to only have a very small amount of wine in something to say, this thing is the harvest might be all wine. Okay, this thing is now wine. And now I can mix it into my whiskey. Okay, so for example, here's a mixture of wine. This would be considered, but this mixture is considered wine. Okay? It's 400 liters of wine, that's 14%. 3,100 liters of water, okay? And 878 liters of grain neutral spirits, meaning of vodka, of just alcohol, pure alcohol. Okay. Now, if you look what this person is doing is that mixture is creating something that in total will be what we had before on the screen before. It'll be 4,378 liters. You add up the numbers. It comes up to, and it'll be 20% alcohol. Okay, the alcohol content, you can do the math later. The alcohol content of this thing is 4,378 liters, which are 20% alcohol. And by law, that thing is considered wine. Okay, now, but how much wine is there really in this thing? Okay, really, this, in the total mixture, this thing was thrown into that mixture before, and it's 8.79% by their mixture. But how much wine is really in that whiskey? There's 400 liters of wine. See, over here, there's 400 liters of real wine, of Jewish wine. 400 liters of real wine, and the whole bag from before had 25,000 liters in it. Okay, so the wine is, not only is it Bat Mishisha, it's actually Bat Mishisha, no less, but the wine is, on the formula, it said the wine was 18, we calculated it was 18%. But the truth is that the wine that's in there is a tiny, tiny percentage. Okay? They made this mixture that you see in front of you of wine, water, and green neutral spirits, they put that into a bottle and said, this is wine. Then they could put it into the other thing. So of that 4,378 of wine being put in, it was not all wine. They called it wine, and by law that it was wine, but in truth that was not wine. Okay? So what? So in this case, we're good. So what the point is... Okay, not for today. No Kanan, but not for today. But so what I'm showing you two opposite pieces of information. Two opposite things. One is, even though the rule is that 9.09%, you can only put that much wine, so you would think it's about the Mishisha, lav dafka. They're 9.09%, and our 9.09% is not the same thing. Those are two different things. Ken's idea, you put it under 9.09%, and it's really way more than that. On the other hand is, they could have put in 9.09%, that's way less than that. Okay, it could go in both directions. The number that they're using is not in our world. They have two interesting rules that make their cheshbon totally nothing to do with, so to speak, truth. Or the way we were making cheshbon. No, you're talking about whether it should be us, like Bichlis and Chathila. We're ignoring those kind of things. In our mind, if the wine is bottled, it's bottled. We're good. They're making it for themselves. But we saw these two opposite extremes over here. Okay, so now.
You say that's not even up service, right? That's what you want to say?
But he wants to say, if you do it, but we, right. We wouldn't let them do it, we wouldn't choose to do it, and from our purposes, it was ready made, we would eat it. Now, so in the end, the CRC's policy for Canadian whiskey is that it needs to have a shtetl, okay? And that policy is a mix between, first of all, this confusion that I said to you, which is, it's not always clear whether it's about b'shisha or not. It's not clear if it's about b'shisha. And second is, we like to tell people that they should do things very much as said for a bal nefesh. You shouldn't be eating it. So if it's only mutter because of the mashisha, let's say it has 5%, let's say in truth it has 5% wine in it. Okay, so 5% wine is about the mashisha. Okay, and it's mutter min hadin. Ramosha said a bal nefesh shouldn't have it. So our list, in a few places, not on this spot, but in a few places it says, our list is telling you what you should do for a bal nefesh. What? We're saying what a bal nefesh should do. It says that in a number, it says it not on this line, but it says in other places. Okay, that's Canadian, that's a Canadian.
Yeah, now, we don't do that by right?
Yeah.
It's a very...
Yeah. Now, let's go on. Let's go on. Now we have... Now we have another shout. Okay. Now we have another question before we get to our next example, okay? What happens... David was mumbling about this before. What happens if, instead of having plain wine or plain grape juice, this is more likely to be a grape juice shiloh. Well, instead of having plain grape juice, you had concentrated grape juice. Okay? Instead of having a gallon of regular grape juice, you had a gallon of grape juice concentrated. Do you need bitter b'shisha in the form it's in now? Instead of a gallon, it's now, I don't know, you'll figure out how much it is, 20 ounces worth of concentrate. Or do you say, first you have to think about how much water it takes to get it back to being its full strength. And then after it's back at its full strength, then we could talk about bitter b'shisha after that. Okay? So for example, okay, if we have a regular single strength grape juice, okay, this is a single one unit of grape juice, so we need 6 units of water to be mevatel. Okay, that's bitter b'shisha. Okay, we have 1 unit
like
of
grape juice,
one bottle of plain grape juice, we need 6 bottles of that to be mevatel. Okay? Now, what happens, so Rabelsky and Rabshakta both said, if you concentrate it, and you take the grape juice, that same liter, the same container of grape juice, okay, and you concentrate it down to just being 1/5 of its volume, that's roughly what you get in a concentrate, they said is, first, you have to think about the water added back to make it back to its full strength, before you move out to the shisha, okay, which is to say is, the amount that you need in it is really 30 times the concentrate in order to be mevatel the b'shisha. Okay, because when it was single strength, you need 6 times. And when you go to concentrate, you need the exact same amount of water. Okay, you need the same amount of water. If you count it up, it comes out to be 30 times the volume of the concentrate. Okay, in order to get bit the mashisha, because if you start with, let's say, with 1 gallon of concentrate, we have to add another 4 gallons of concentrate to get us back to being full single strength. And now we have to add another 30 gallons in order to get us back into another 6 times of that. In order to 30 gallons of that, in order to get us to be pit to b'shisha. What do you say?
It's not problem in concentration.
I don't think so.
It's multiplied 5 times 6.
Pit to b'shisha is only an amount of time.
Why? So the explanation is, we said last time, I don't remember if you were here last time. Okay. We said last time, hold on a second, we'll do the math in 1 second.
Back to fifth grade.
Also from Ramosha. That Ramosha said was like this. He said, it was based on Rishon, I didn't mention at the beginning today, that the way bitter b'shisha works is that when the wine, or the grape juice, gets watered to the point that it doesn't anymore have the character of wine and grape juice anymore, then it's not considered wine, and the Yishun have to do that and go away also. So when you think it like that, from that perspective, why would I care if I diluted it in water? He says, now imagine like this. If you think the opposite, if you think you have to just be about to concentrate, then really, all the water you need is like this. Okay, if you want to be about the concentrate, that means if you started with a whole container of grape juice, and by adding in only another 40% of water, it'll be bottled. Okay? Because you just added 6 times water. Okay? Now, that of course is absurd. It's absurd because Because that means if you took a bottle of grape juice and you added 40% more water, 40%, you had 6 ounces, you added another 2 ounces of water, and you got the mishisha, which of course is silly. The idea of the mishisha is to make it no longer have this character of wine, which happens when it's at six times, for whatever reason that is, it happens at six times. Well, this is going to taste almost exactly like grape juice. It's going to be grape juice with a drop of water added to it. That's what it's going to be.
Before you mentioned that one chad mishisha is 16%,
16%. Maybe
it is 1 out of 7.
No, it's 6 times. It's 6 times. This is 6 times water to 1 part. 6 parts water to 1.
So that's
1/7. 1/7.
Right.
14. Okay. Fine.
Which number are you using per?
6 to 1.
6 to 1.
6 to 1. 1/7. Yes, you're right. Okay. Okay.
I think there's a cooler
time.
We got a kiddish.
You're in Boston.
Yeah, what?
You just concentrate back.
There was a linger one.
If you recall that, right? If you hold the linger concentrated after it's re-diluted.
Yes.
I mean, you're saying concentrated.
It came out originally.
It's kosher yayin, right? When you re-concentrate.
I don't know if the shayla told each other, but we talked about that a few years ago, before Pesach. You go listen to Byron.
I'm not that great a man. Okay,
yes. Okay, so now, I'm going to tell you. Let's say the concentrate is 1 gallon. So how much is the full single-strength beer juice?
Full single, I need to add...
4 more gallons.
Four more gallons.
To have to back to itself.
So 5 gallons.
And then how many more gallons?
Okay.
I have to add 1, 2, 3, another 30 gallons. In total, I have to add 30.
That's a 5 gallon jug.
I have to add in total 34 gallons. More than 30 times more. No problem. We'll help you. Okay. So now. That means we were using a piece of equipment for concentrated grape juice, okay, like it's not so unusual. Let's say we're using a concentrator, and we're cashing the concentrator after it made grape juice before it makes apple juice. Now, we will talk, I think maybe even next time, about whether there's bachlal and itakasher. Maybe there's no itakasher from stam yayin to other things. That's going to be, I think it's next time, or maybe 2 times. That's going to be, we're going to talk about that, okay? But assuming we have the kasher, it's a concentrator that used to concentrate grape juice. So the blaze in this machine were concentrated grape juice. I said to you, so what we're going to do is, we're going to kasher ben yayin with 6 times the amount of water. All of a sudden, we don't need 6 times the amount of water, we need 30 times the amount of water. All of a sudden, of course, it depends on the exact how concentrated the thing is, but let's say you need 30 times the water to get bit the mishisha. Okay? All of a sudden, it's a whole different world. Bit the mishisha is all of a sudden not shisha. All of a sudden, shisha means 30. Okay? It's a whole new way of looking at it. Okay? That's one example. Okay? We're not talking about it. If you're trying to get away from kashrut ben yayin by using water, then okay. Now, there's another example. Okay, and that's going to lead us to our next real example. Okay? There's another example. I keep telling you about concentrated grape juice because that's how we would usually see concentrate. But there's another type of concentrate, and that is brandy. Okay? Brandy is essentially concentrated wine. Okay, what's brandy? Okay, I forgot, I should have put the slide back on. From way, way long ago when we started. Brandy is you take wine, let's say it's 14% alcohol or whatever the amount is, and then you distill it. You boil all the alcohol out. The alcohol and the taste all go out, leaving behind essentially the water behind. Okay, it's not exactly that. That's not exactly what's happening, but give or take, the alcohol and the flavor are going out, the water is being left behind, and you collect that alcohol and flavor on the other side, and you leave behind what's considered the not desirable parts. Okay. So we're getting a concentrate of the wine. Okay, we're taking out the flavorful parts of it, leaving behind the water behind it. Okay? And it's not exactly like grape juice concentrate, but it's very similar to grape juice concentrate. And it's hard for me to make a chesed of how much it is, okay, because it's not as simple as grape juice concentrate. It's easier. You take out the water, and when you want to put it back in, you put water back in. So you know how much you have to put back in to get it back to what it was. It's a little easier, the numbers were. In my rough estimation, you don't have to agree with it. It was about 40 times. Okay, you'll have to put 40 times the brandy to be mabato, the brandy mishisha. Okay, now before we're going to go on to a very specific example of that, a very close to many people's hearts, example of that. But before I have to tell you, I have to just, before we stop, I have to just pass and tell you something, okay? We're not going to talk about this shayla, but I have to tell you a shita, okay, which is, the Rish Shechter has a shita. It was a very interesting and colorful discussion when we got to this. The Rish Shechter has a shita that says, the bit of a shisha, we know the bit of a shisha works into all kinds of liquids. The Rish Shechter says, bit of a shisha only works from liquids. But if you had, I take that back, only works from mashkin. Okay, things that you drink, like as if you drink when you're thirsty, you have a drink of orange juice, that's a mashka. You drink of grape juice or wine, that's a mashka. But things that you don't drink for thirst, but you consume them because you like to have that thing, so to speak, that's a bucket. So Shechter says that whiskey and vinegar are not mashkin. Okay? Vinegar and whiskey are oichlin. And therefore then they don't qualify for bit the mashisha. You can't be lach the mashisha. They're iser, that's an oichlin, not iser, that's a mashkin. Okay? That was one of the riots from that case. It's a whole pile of riots back and forth. It's a discussion where I thought we were going to make it, but we're not going to talk about that. Okay? It was a whole to-do about what he thought. Like that, Rudelsky strongly disagreed, and there were many riots on Rudelsky's side. But according to Shechter, what we're about to talk about means that according to Shechter, if you have brandy, it doesn't qualify for bit the mashisha, not because it's concentrated. We're going to talk about the concentrated shabbat, not because it's concentrated. Right. Doesn't go to mashisha because it just doesn't qualify. It's totally nothing to do with mashisha. It's in the rules of bit the mashisha. Okay, so we're going to put that on the side for now. Okay, it was a knach in the vinegar shayla from 30 years ago. That's where the sarbam as a knach where the sheet vinegar could be about the mashisha. Okay, so now the question we're going to talk about now is like the following. I told you in our introduction way back when, many moons ago, that there's one big question that we're going to come across. I count now four times that we're going to talk about different parts of the shayla, and that is about scotch in made in sherry casks. Okay, there are many parts of that shayla, many parts of the shayla. In Mirza said the way the plans are that the very last time we're going to talk about the main parts of the shayla, but we're going to pass by as far as I count now three other parts of shayla. One of them being this, and that is like this: what's the shayla of scotch in sherry casks? I'll remind you. The scotch itself doesn't have any major conscious issues with it. But many people who make scotch keep that scotch in a barrel that used to hold a kind of wine called sherry wine. The shayla is, if it sits in that barrel, is it boilea the wine, in which case would make the scotch treif. Okay? That's the overall shayla. Okay? So one of the parts of the one possible way to explain why it's not an issue is because it's about the mashisha. Okay, now, not knowing anything, you would say, of course it's about the mashisha. It's just sitting in a barrel, so how much blue can come out of the barrel into the scotch? Of course it's going to be about the mashisha. We know the shop says that usually kalim are 20, 30 times the volume of their wool, so of course it's about the mashisha. That would be a layman's guess as to what should it be. But in fact, that's not the truth. In fact, it's not simply the truth. Because I brought here one of Nehas's staves. Okay, it's from a barrel, and as you can see, the stave is like an inch thick. Okay, the barrels are made of really, really thick wood, and I did not bring up his whole barrel. But if you look at the barrel, you see it's not terribly large. Okay, not terribly large. So if you make the cheshbon, the mathematical calculations, it turns out that what's inside the barrel is only the erech four times the volume of the walls of the barrel. Okay, different people have cheshbon differently. That's going to be for Mitzvah next time, or maybe it's two times. We're going to talk about that. I said this is only one part of the shayla. We're only talking about, I believe there are four parts. I think that's not for this today. That's for the last time. But there are, I believe, four parts of that shayla. But we're talking about one part. And for today's part, we're assuming there are bleas all the way through. You bleas are a concern. All those kinds of things we're assuming. And today we're talking about one part of the shayla, which is, would the bleas be bought the mashisha? So if the bleas go all the way through, let's say an inch thick, and it's only four times, then it's not going to be about the mashisha. It won't be about the mashisha because of the fact there's only four times. Okay? We're going to use the number four as a round number. Okay, it's probably not accurate, but it's roughly accurate. Okay, so it wouldn't be about the mashisha. Okay, now it's the shayla. The reason why I'm mentioning it right at this point is because it's more complicated. Because sherry wine is not just plain wine. Okay, when you make sherry wine, this is an example of a sherry wine. Okay. If you take sherry wine, take 100 liters of regular wine, a wine made in the certain area of Spain, where sherry has to be made, and it's 14% alcohol, okay? And you add into that 18 liters of brandy, that is to say, I should say to you, sherry wine basically, by its name, means a fortified wine. Yeah, fortified wine means wine that you increase the alcohol level beyond what it really should be naturally. Like Dovid was asking, he says, how can you have wine at 20%? Okay, we don't have yeast that make wine at 20%. Maybe Chazal did, but we don't have that. So if we want to make a wine that's 20%, what they do is they take 100 liters of 40% alcohol, they put in 18 liters of brandy. If brandy is made from wine, okay, the 18 liters of brandy, that's a very strong alcohol, it's 40% alcohol, and voila, now we have a finished sherry which is 118 liters altogether, right? It's 118, that was easy, man. Okay, then we have 21.2 liters of alcohol. Okay, you can count it out. 21.2 liters of alcohol, which tells us that our mixture is now 18% alcohol. Okay, so this mixture, which is, it's 118 liters and it's 18% alcohol. So that might be what a sherry would look like. Okay, so now, I just told you that when you have a concentrate, bit the b'shisha, you don't have to move out the b'shisha of the concentrate in its current state. You have to first think about how much water it takes to get it back to its original state. Okay, so now, if it turns out that in this example, these 18 liters need to have 40, whatever times more, not 6 times 18, but 40 times 18, I'm not putting the whole cheshbon on the board, but it comes out that to be mevatel, these 118 liters takes about 1,000 liters of water to be mevatel. Okay, comes out to, in my cheshbon, that's about 11 times. Okay, comes out to about 11 times. Okay, 118 times 11 is not 1,000. Somehow I don't have that work. That's a little more than 1,000. Okay, so.
There's no water in the bria.
Everything is in the bria. When you put wine into this thing, everything got absorbed into it.
In the water?
Yeah, everything. Whatever.
There's liquids in there.
Right. Oh, so the reason why it's 1,000 is because only the 18 needs 40 times. The 100 liters needs just 6 times. So it came out of the cheshbon. You can look at a foot over here to find out that if we go with this idea that we vatlet based on its concentrated form, we have to reconstitute it before we vatlet, it comes out to roughly 11 times. Okay. If you want to talk about the myth, we can do it later. Okay. Give us a good
color. Who said that brandy is like concentrated? Is that your
line? I said that. That's what I'm saying.
Is it a big difference?
Okay, what's the difference?
Concentrate is you're taking out the water, you're compressing it.
Okay, say that again. Concentrate is?
You're
boiling out the water. You're putting the water on this side and the concentrate on this side.
Yeah.
And brandy?
It's distilling, which just simply needs to separate one from the next.
And what? How is separating different from separate? That's the thing.
It's a different process.
They're actually both the same process. When you concentrate, you boil the water out and you leave the concentrate behind. And when you distill, you boil the concentrate out and you leave the water behind.
Why
don't you use a concentrator? That's basically what a distiller is. But why don't you use a concentrator? Because it actually works the opposite. Because in a concentrator, the water boils out. The water has a lower boiling point than the concentrate does. And in alcohol, the alcohol has a lower concentration. So the alcohol boils out. So one, you're trying to push out the water, and one, you're trying to capture the water. Give or take, it's the same thing. It is the same thing. What's the difference? Okay. They don't look at all alike, but it's essentially, but one is you're trying to keep something, and one is you're trying to get rid of something, but the same idea. They didn't say it, but I'm saying that her brandy should have the same thing. Okay, you can think about that. Now, so that's the bad news, okay? But there are two parts of good news, okay? Two parts of good news, and that is, one is, the people who put their scotch into sherry casks, the people who put it into the wine barrels, a lot of them, we'll find out what that means in a second, but a lot of them don't use a wine barrel only once. They use the wine barrel, and the first time they use it gives a really great taste to it, but then they use it again and again and again. Okay? So for our purposes, we're gonna say, I don't know if it's exactly accurate, we're going to say, we only think about bleas coming out of the barrel on the first time it's been used. Okay? That's the dinim of mu the iri. We're going to make an assumption that we only worry about bleas coming out the first time that the barrel has been used. Okay? So, which is to say, even if somebody puts his scotch into a sherry cask, doesn't mean that it's that doesn't automatically mean that there's a bleed from that thing. Okay, so that's one part of the good news.
Why would I assume what?
Because we have there's a bit of mean leeway. We get time out. Okay, 3 times. So it's after
it still got diluted a bit
after strong amounts of dilution. Okay. Yeah, the second thing is, before they put the stuff into the bottle, before they put the stuff into the bottle, before they put the stuff into the bottle, they put water into it also. Okay? They put actually a very considerable amount of water. Okay? Which is to say is, when you make
bottle of booze.
When you put whiskey into a barrel, okay? When you put it into the barrel, you put in, we're picking three numbers. You could put it in a, what they call a cask strength. We picked, for the purpose of this exercise, 60, 55, or 50% alcohol. Okay? That's what we're putting in, we're guessing, we're taking three numbers. Okay? When you bottle it, we're picking three other numbers.
This is water added after, right?
What?
This is water added later.
When you bottle it.
Yeah, when you bottle it. Okay, I'm sorry, the numbers are wrong. I'm sorry. It should say 40, 45, and 50. Okay? You bottle it at different strengths. Ooh, I forgot to say something. Okay, bottle at different for afterwards. At different strengths. Okay, so if you think about that, we could come up with all these different variations. And which is to say is, if let's say the top case, you put it into the cask at 60%, you bottle it at 40%. Now, you have to add a considerable amount of water, but 50% water in order to get it from 60 to 40. Okay, you have to add a lot of water. So when we're thinking about the bit of bashisha, we'd only have to think about the stam yayin being bottled into the sherry being bottled into the whiskey, we also have water that we're going to be adding later on also into it. Okay? So, now, next piece of information. Okay? How much sherry did they use in this, in my case, I mean the percent of first run sherry, were they using? Okay? Did they take a quarter of it, a half of it, or all of it when they were making the sherry? Okay? So let's do some math. Okay? Okay, please don't get scared. Okay, what you're about to see is going to be the ratio. You see the ratio, which is to say is, in this case, we started with a cash rate of 40%, and you bottled it at 40%, you started a cash rate of 60%, you bottled it at 40%, the number here is going to tell us, and it was only a quarter sherry, then what's going to be the ratio of heter to iser, okay? So the answer is going to be is, to make it easier, okay, in the ones that are green, okay, the ones that are green are ones, I told you it has to be 11 times, we bottled the water and the sherry, that's a concentrate. So these are the ones that are 11 times, and these are the ones that are 6 times. Okay, if you think you want to just do plain 6, then it covers...
the percentage of sherry, that's why.
Then you're counting just about all the cases, okay, except for the ones that were 100%. But if you want just 11 times, then it looks like to us, basically, if it's 25% or less, then we were good. And if it's 50 or 75%, then it's usually only good if it's, that's usually only going to be good if you only want shisha. But if you say, like I thought, that the sherry is considered concentrated, that the brandy is concentrated, and concentrate needs, you have to reconstitute it first, then in the 50 and the 75% case, you would not be okay. Now, okay, so what percent of the stuff, of the scotch, is in first run sherry? Okay, so Ayas, he said, he wasn't going to guess. He said, too hard to calculate that. It was too hard to make a cheshbon like that. So I turned to one of his friends, Elio Weinstein. Okay?
Oh, never the best.
An expert in these kind of things. And he had lots to say about it. Okay, so now, look, before I tell you what he says, we're going to divide scotches into 4.5 groups. Okay? 4.5 groups. There are some scotches that we know have no sherry in them. Okay? For whatever reason, the chevra knows that there's no sherry in those things. Okay, those we don't care about. Then there are ones that we know there are 100% in first run sherry casks. Okay, there's some that make it like that. We're ignoring those. Those are those. We know what they are. Okay, so then they have two parts in the middle. One is people use some sherry and some not sherry. And there's something very similar, which is they use 100% sherry, but we don't know if they're using first run sherry. Okay, they are using 100%, but they're not using 100% first run sherry. Okay, so these two chevras in the middle. Those are the ones we're focusing on, those two. Now, within those two, we're also cutting out another class. Okay, and there's another class of scotches, which are the ones that tell you that they finished them in sherry, which is to say, so from their purposes, it wasn't aged the whole time in sherry. Let's say it's 12 years old. For 12 years, for 11 and a half years, it was in nothing, in plain old bourbon barrels. For the last 6 months, it was in sherry. So that's a finishing. So from our purposes, it's the same. It was in a trade barrel. It was in a trade barrel for more than 24 hours. But for our purposes, that's the same. So the people who are finished, Mr. Weinstein says that the people who finish tend to finish in first run sherry. That's generally the way it is. So we're ignoring those people. So those people, we also, they're in first run sherry. So what we're left with is the people who we sort of don't know. They're not finished in something. They're just, we know they either use all sherry or some sherry, but we don't know what is first or second run sherry. Okay? So, Okay, so which one, how much is actually in first on sherry? And he says is, the ones that are in sherry are about 10% of their actual wine is in sherry, and the ones that are 100%, that tell us 100%, they're about 20% first run cherries, which means if we look at our chart over here, I know there's a lot of numbers on there, but if you remember the chart said was that if it's 25%, it's basa b'shisha, even if you reconstituted the stuff first. Shisha, even if you reconstitute it, right. And even if you need to do that first, it would appear that you would still be safe.
Also with your assumption that it's only first fill.
That only first fill is a problem. And it's going with my assumption that sherry, that brandy is a concentrated version of wine, and that
so therefore you're being more confident.
But see, he wants to say that after the first run sherry, it still doesn't make a difference. Even second run is also, second and third, even he'd be worried about it.